It is 7 o'clock in San Francisco and the West Coast, and it's time for Minds Over Matter. Dana Rodriguez, Pauline Teichman, and Laurie Fisher will match wits with listeners on the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Our telephone number is 415-841-4134 with your answers and questions tonight on Minds Over Matter.
Wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
Ladies and gentlemen, your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Kevin, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely weekend and can spare us an hour of your time tonight because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are welcoming your participation. Wait a minute, there's a squeaky chair in the room.
Oh. All right. I am the squeaky wheel.
All right. The squeaky chair.
And we'll have to give you some grease. Wait a minute. Anyway, Minds Over Matter, as I said, is an audience participation quiz program, so we hope you can call and participate. It's very, very important to us. That number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. Again, that is 415-841-4134. Our lines are open right now. It's a great time to call in. Occasionally, they do get a little bit crowded toward the end of the show, but if you call in very soon, we will get you on right away. So, also want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, strangely enough, mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. That gets mindsovermatter, one word, @yahoo.com. Feel free to email us anytime. We don't read them during the show because it's too distracting, and I can only handle one thing at a time. And so, again, that's mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world simply by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of this show, although if you're listening to it right now, you probably don't want a podcast of it. But if you, for those of you who enjoy listening to it over and over again, and I'd like to meet you, that is kalw.org. It'll be available soon afterwards, along with some of our older shows and some gems you may have missed. So that is us. We're going to be questioning with, or excuse me, we're going to do a round of introductions. And here's the first. Pauline Teichman wants to know if her time here on Minds Over Matter is a lasting treasure or just a moment's pleasure.
Okay.
We'll see how you do today.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it can be both.
Yeah, why not? Even after their second win in a row, unlike the Giants, Laurie Fisher has decided not to participate in the June swoon and will continue to play far beyond his potential.
I do. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, had not planned on doing any overseas travel this summer, but simply by crossing the Bay Bridge today, he found himself in Siberia.
All right. That is us. And, I do want to mention something, if you don't mind. I'll be at a trivia game doing the questions at the Grand Oaks Restaurant this coming Tuesday, June 24th at 7:30. That's the Grand Oaks Restaurant in Oakland, California. It's on Grand Avenue. And if you'd like to come and participate or just watch, you are more than welcome to do that. If you'd like to come and meet me and enjoy listening to the show, it's always great to meet our listeners. So again, if you want to play, that's fine. If you don't want to play, that's fine too. It's Grand Oaks Restaurant on Grand Avenue in Oakland this coming Tuesday at 7:30. That's June 24th. And feel free to come. I'd like to meet you. So it will be a great game, by the way. And all right, so we will begin the questioning with Pauline Teichman.
Okay, so Gerald, and I'm probably going to say the name wrong, Goffin?
Oh, yeah, Goffin.
Goffin was nominated for a single Oscar. What was it for, and what well-known singers other than the obvious one covered it?
Well, I just read his obit in the Times the other day, and I think it's the theme to Mahogany.
Yes,
is that it?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Right.
Do you know where you're going to? Yeah.
So Diana Ross.
Do you know? Yes.
Yeah, recorded it,
yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. So who else, though? It was...
Well, someone else did a cover of it?
Several other people.
Yeah.
Two really well-known, one a little less known.
Why, is there somebody weird like Liberace did a cover of it or
no.
something?
No, it's actually not weird.
Pretty straightforward.
Just
okay.
Pretty straightforward.
All right.
How about
just,
Celine?
I wasn't familiar with these
Celine
covers.
Dion?
No, you would
ilk?
Think. You could totally think that.
Yeah,
but no.
Not her. All women? Who did it?
All women.
Yeah. Huh.
And not his former wife, I don't think. Carol King did not do it?
No.
Okay.
I can't imagine her doing that one.
I can't either.
All right. No. Read that once more, would you?
Okay. Jerry Goffin was nominated for a single Oscar, and we already guessed that it was for the theme from Mahogany. Do You Know Where You're Going To? Who else besides Diana Ross covered it, did a version of it?
All right. All
recorded
right.
a version.
And Lori, why don't you go ahead?
All right. Well, I'm going to plug one of NPR's shows. If you're not listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour, it's really a wonderful show in lots of different ways. And they had Jared Green told me about a segment they did on first impressions, which is just people's what they liked immediately. So I have a couple questions about first impressions. And this is these are magazine covers. I want to know who was on these magazine covers first. They're all well-known magazines. I'll give you the year that'll kind of center it in time. So who was on the first TV Guide? That's in 1953. Who was on the first Sports Illustrated? The next year in 1954. Who was on the first Tiger Beat? I know you all subscribe to Tiger Beat. That came out in 65. Rolling Stone in 67. And People Magazine, 74. So what celebrity or person was on the first cover of TV Guide, Tiger Beat, Rolling Stone, Sports Illustrated, and People?
The first TV Guide, I think, was Lucille Ball and her baby.
Was it? Little Desi. Wow.
Yeah.
Very good.
And the first Rolling Stone was John Lennon.
Very good.
He was in costume for How I Won the War.
Correct.
Right.
Not his music role.
Right.
So that's interesting. Okay, so those are your two guesses.
Right.
So we're looking for Tiger Beat, and we're looking for People Magazine and Sports Illustrated.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Here from Union City.
Hello.
I know who was on the first cover of People.
Who?
It was Mia Farrow.
Yeah. Oh. What movie was she in? Do you remember?
She was doing a Great Gatsby.
Very good. Nice going.
Good.
Yeah. I got a couple questions for you.
All right.
Let me see what's up. Who was the only actor in which an actor won for Best Supporting Actor in which he had no dialogue?
So who was the only actor? Oh, Best...
Say it again?
The only person
who was the only film in which an actor won for the Best Supporting Actor statuette in which he had no dialogue.
No dialogue. He won for Best Supporting Actor.
He won.
Oh,
Was it John Mills in
Ryan's
Daughter?
John Mills. What was the film?
Ryan's Daughter?
Right. There's a bell.
All right.
This is my second question. What was the only, I'm not sure if I gave this question out before, but what was the only dramatic anthology series to air on two television networks simultaneously?
The only anthology series to air on two different television networks?
Yeah, simultaneously.
Simultaneously, wow.
So you mean like the U.S. Steel Hour or Playhouse 90 kind of thing?
It came before that.
All right.
But it was that kind of thing, right? No regular cast.
Like Zane Grey Theater or Dick Powell Theater or something like that?
No.
There were a lot of anthologies.
There were.
In the early days of TV.
This company sponsored Perry Como.
Oh, who sponsored? No. Mm-mm.
You don't know?
No.
Kraft Television Theater.
Kraft.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Great people from Kraft.
It ran on NBC and ABC for a time in 1955.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see here. All right. Two questions. What state has voted Republican in the most consecutive presidential elections? What state has voted Republican in the most consecutive presidential elections?
How many is it?
A lot. A lot.
So Utah comes to mind.
Nope.
Not?
Nope.
I think it's before that. I think
before pre-Utah.
What state has voted Republican in the most consecutive presidential elections? Huh. And another question. What do the novels For Whom the Bell Tolls, A River Runs Through It, Mr. Samler's Planet, and Gravity's Rainbow have in common? It's a superlative thing.
It's a superlative thing?
Yeah.
Like they're really excellent?
Other than that.
Okay, For Whom the Bell Tolls, say them again.
For Whom the Bell Tolls, A River Runs Through It, Mr. Samler's Planet, and Gravity's Rainbow. What do those four novels have in common?
Is this like an award or the most something?
It's
or
related
other?
To that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it the best-selling book by each of those authors?
Oh, that's a good guess, but no.
That's
not it. So what do the novels For Whom the Bell Tolls, A River Runs Through It, Mr. Samler's Planet, and Gravity's Rainbow all have in common?
And is it something that will end up being a number, like they're the longest book by each author or something goofy like that?
No.
Some superlative.
It's considered the best work by each of these authors?
No, well, it may be, but that's not what I'm looking for. And
it's an objective thing, not a subjective thing?
Yes.
Okay. Not that that helps at all, but yeah.
So the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Big Radul in the Carnero.
Hi, Big Radul.
I've got five movie characters' names I'd like to give you, and if you could tell me the actor and the film.
Okay.
Do you want to do one by one, or should I list all five?
Let's do one by one, I guess.
Okay. Rose Sayer.
Oh.
It's familiar.
It is familiar.
Mm-hmm. We're doing them one by one?
Yeah, go ahead in the next one. I have to think about that.
Okay. Judith Traherne.
Oh, Judith Traherne is, that's Betty Davis in Dark Victory.
You got it.
All right.
Melanie Hamilton.
Oh, that's Olivia de Havilland in Gone with the Wind.
Oh.
Got that one, too. Okay, how about Rosalind Tabor?
Tabor?
T-A-B-E-R.
Tabor. No relation to Horace Tabor. In other words, like there's a famous person named Horace Tabor.
No,
they did make a movie out of a biography of him. No. Keep going.
And how about Cherry Valance?
Oh, that's John Ireland in Red River.
Yeah, I thought maybe it died.
That's very good.
Yeah, I was thinking I could get that one by you.
So we need Rose Sayer and Rosalind Tabor.
Right.
Is it Rose Thayer or Sayer?
Sayer, S-A-Y-E-R.
That sounds awfully familiar.
It does.
Can you give me a hint on that?
Humphrey Bogart was in the movie.
Oh, it's African Queen?
Right.
Oh, mm-hmm. Very good. Very good.
Katherine Hepburn.
Yeah.
How about a hint on Rosalind?
Clark Gable.
Rosalind Tabor. Rosalind Tabor.
It's not It Happened One Night, is it?
No.
Glenn Coburn.
No. Not The Misfits, is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Is that Marilyn Monroe?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Got him.
Very good.
I got to keep trying to get one by you.
Oh, well, that's pretty hard, so I appreciate it.
I'll try to do better.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening, Sparky and Maddie.
Hi.
Oh, good.
Hey.
Eddie Matthews was on the first cover of Sports Illustrated.
He was. Very good. I thought you'd know that. Very good, Sparky.
Oh, yeah. Although I don't know who the catcher and the umpire were.
I don't remember either.
It was an action picture when he was with the Milwaukee Braves.
Yeah, and it was a night baseball game. I think that was part of the deal, too. That was the cover. Night Baseball in Milwaukee. Very good.
But you mentioned the first cover of Rolling Stone magazine.
Yes.
And then it was like almost a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
What local radio station was mentioned on the front cover?
Huh. KSAM?
No.
No, huh? That's good.
Yeah, who did it?
Was it a rock and roll station?
Yes, it was.
In that case, then.
I think it was top 40 at that time.
So, 1967, top 40, San Francisco.
Yeah.
KSFO?
No.
All right.
Before my time.
Yeah. And not before my time.
No, we don't know.
KFRC.
Oh, okay.
KFRC. It was top 40.
Six
you're right.
Ten,
yeah.
Maddie.
Yeah.
saying from the sidelines. That's it. We're done.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye. And Pauline, it's your turn.
Okay. Lucien Laurent is known for something noteworthy, especially in the news nowadays. What is it?
I never know these names because you say them in that you say in your perfect French.
Lucien Laurent, okay?
Rather than the American French that I'm used to. He's known for something.
He's very well known for something that has to do with something that's much in the news these days.
Under that name.
That's the only name he's known.
All right.
So he doesn't have a designer name.
No.
He's not Christian Dior or somebody in disguise.
I know. Right.
How do you spell his last name?
Laurent.
So that's not Yves Saint Laurent?
No.
No relation?
No relation. Okay. It has nothing to do with fashion.
That's and it's much in the news lately?
Lately. Very lately. Very now. But not his name necessarily,
but
the thing he's known for would be.
Did he invent this thing?
No.
Is this any sort of utilitarian thing?
No.
Okay.
Is it something he did?
Something in the news in the last 72 hours?
It's related to something definitely in the news the last 72 hours, the last 24 hours, the last 8 hours.
Wow. Something French?
Not only.
Not only
no.
French.
All right. Okay. Read the
question. He happened to be French.
Yeah.
But
read it once more. Okay.
What did Lucien Laurent do that was so noteworthy?
That is in the news right now.
Well,
kind of.
It's not his doing if it's in the news right now. It's related to something that's very much in the news right now.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is David Price-Weldy in San Francisco.
Hi, David. How are you?
Good, thanks. And you?
Yes, good.
Good. For Teen Beat magazine, would that be Davy Jones?
It was not Davy Jones. Good guess.
Oh, you still have all your back issues?
I unfortunately, my mom judiciously threw that.
No, okay.
I wasn't judicious. Yeah, all those Davy Jones memorabilia.
What about the theme for Mahogany? Did Marilyn McCoo ever attempt it?
No, actually, she did another song of his that was very big, but not that particular one.
He was a great writer.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess
I grew up singing those songs all the time.
Didn't we? Yes.
Yes.
And then for all the novels that Finian's Rainbow that you mentioned.
Not Finian, they're Gravity's Rainbow.
Gravity's Rainbow.
Right. For Whom the Bell Tolls, A River Runs Through It, Mr. Samler's Planet, and Gravity's Rainbow.
Well, this is just really out there, but are they options that Kris Jenner has gotten for the Kardashians?
That is out there.
That's the best answer ever.
I do want to see Kim as Maria in For Whom the Bell Tolls.
She does a Mr. Samler that'll break your heart.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, David.
Bye.
And Lori, it's your turn.
All right. Well, recently, as in this year, earlier this year, our post office had the 30th postage stamp that was dedicated to what they're calling literary arts. So they have offered 30 postage stamps, literary arts. 8 of the 30 are women. I'm interested in who are the women who are in the literary arts series on a postage stamp. Mm-hmm. And then 2 of these 30 they designated as forever stamps. They aren't women. They're 2 of the men get the forever stamps. So I'm interested. Yeah. So I'm interested in who are on the forever stamps, and then who are the women.
So, first of all, do they all have to be deceased to be on the stamp?
Ooh, that's a good question. Yes. I don't know if they have to be, but it looks like they
probably are.
Yes.
I think they do.
Certainly the forever people are long deceased.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm sorry. So it's two on the forever stamps are men.
Men, both deceased. And then I'm looking for the 8 women who have been.
And of course, I normally collect stamps and I haven't gotten these. So I'm going to say Ernest Hemingway.
No. No, he's not on the forever.
Is he on the list?
He is on the list.
So
yeah. There's too many men to get all of them.
So you're looking for how many women?
8.
Eight.
And they're all, I'll give you this hint on the 8 so that you don't guess Emily Dickinson. They're all 20th century.
Okay.
For some reason.
Could they be playwrights as well?
They could be.
Like Lorraine Hansberry?
She's not one of them.
All right.
Let me check here. I don't think you should think of them as playwrights, even though I think some of them have written plays. They're,
right.
they're prose writers
like
for the
Pearl
most part.
Pearl Buck or Lillian Hellman?
Neither.
Or Mary McCarthy? Would be Mary upset McCarthy. If Lillian Hellman was on the stamp.
I don't think they're going to put Lillian Hellman on the stamp, but she's not.
All right.
What about Margaret Beecher Stowe?
No.
Harriet Beecher Stowe.
Harriet, sorry.
Not Harriet.
I'm changing her name.
She might have been a natural, but there might have been some 20th century thing.
I can't say Harper Lee because she's still alive.
I know. That's who I had in mind. That was my reason.
Women. Right.
Yeah. Oh, what about... Oh, it's got to be American, though, doesn't it?
I'm going to say yes, kind of like that.
Okay. Like Zora Neale Hurston.
She's one of them.
Right.
Very good. That's
right.
one of them. Okay, so that we have seven more and the two forever stamps.
All right. So is she the only minority?
No.
Okay. Like is Baldwin or Langston Hughes on one of the male?
They're not in the forever stamp category. Oh. Baldwin's on the list. Langston Hughes for some reason not.
Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is John in Mountain View.
Hi, John.
Hi, I have a geographical question in two parts. First, some U.S. state capitals are located on the same river. Name a U.S. river, and it's two or three state capitals. Might be easy.
Okay. Mississippi.
Right, that's a long one.
Right.
What are the capitals on it?
St. Paul.
Right.
Springfield?
Baton Rouge.
That's correct.
Now I have the furthest north and the furthest south, and I have to...
Is Springfield on the Mississippi?
Don't know.
No. Springfield is not on the river.
Okay. Let's see. Wait a minute now. No, not. I almost said St. Louis, but that's not the capital. How many are there on the Mississippi?
On Mississippi, it's just two, St. Paul and Baton Rouge.
So is there another river that there's... How about the Ohio River?
None that I know of.
Okay. Columbus, okay.
So we're looking for another river now, right?
Among others.
So tell me, I'm sorry, tell me what you're looking for here still.
Missouri.
All right. Oh, well,
Jefferson City.
Well, I don't know what... What river is that? The Missouri River?
Missouri.
Okay.
Correct.
So we're looking for other capitals on the Missouri River?
Yeah, there are two more.
Two more. Oh. How about Topeka?
No.
No?
Well, Nebraska. Is the capital Nebraska on the Missouri?
No.
Where's our map?
Yeah.
Took down our maps.
Where's a map when you need one?
No. Well, that's the Middle East, the one they had up there, so it wouldn't have been much help. Let's see. No, you better fill in the gap for us. We don't know.
Okay, so it would be North Dakota and South Dakota.
Oh, all right. Pierre and Bismarck?
Correct.
All right.
Okay, so there are some national capitals all lying on the same river.
With the Danube, of course.
Sorry?
The Danube.
Danube, oh, that's right. What are the capitals on the Danube?
Well, Vienna, Bratislava.
Bratislava, correct, yeah.
The capital of Serbia.
That's right.
Which went right out of my head. And Belgrade, thank you. Thank you, Kevin. And so, let's see, Belgrade, Bratislava, Vienna, Budapest, very good.
That's correct.
And there's another one.
We've got the capital of France.
It's not Bucharest, it's not.
But there aren't other ones
is
on
it,
the set.
It's not Ljubljana, it's...
No, you actually already got all four
that
are on the Danube. Bucharest is close to the Danube, but about 40 miles away.
Okay.
On a different river.
All right.
So you got all four of them right.
Wow.
Oh, very nice.
Very impressive.
Thank you.
Give yourself a bell.
Thanks.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight is teacher and photographer Pauline Teichman. Lori Fisher, who teaches at teaches English at Dabo Valley College, and I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. And the number to join us, by the way, if you'd like to come in with a question or answer, is, excuse me, area code 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. All right, I'm going to do a question. I like this question a lot, but I've often liked questions that have gotten very tepid response, so we'll see.
How are the answers? Is it sometimes
there are 10
question?
Answers to this question.
All right.
All right, this is from Forbes magazine, that liberal publication. These are the 10 words most commonly used to describe the applicant in a business-oriented resume. These are the 10 words most commonly used to describe an applicant in a business-oriented resume. Now, when I say I would describe the applicant, it's the applicant describing him or herself.
Okay.
So, again, so that what are the 10 words most commonly used by applicants in putting together a business-oriented resume, according to Forbes magazine? So I'll give you each two guesses.
Motivated.
No.
Multitasking.
That's a good guess, but no, those are both good guesses.
How about responsible?
Yes, responsible.
How about initiative?
Initiative.
Like takes initiative.
Initiative. These are people selling themselves.
No.
No.
I mean, you know, things related to that, but not that.
Okay.
Hardworking.
No, these are all single words.
Oh, that's a compound
hyphenated.
Word.
Hyphenated.
Well, yeah, okay.
All right. Committed. Commitment.
Or should sure. they?
No.
Right.
These are very, these are certainly used words, probably overused, actually, most of them. Again, this is according to Forbes magazine. These are the 10 words most commonly used by an applicant in describing themselves on a business resume. So far, all we have is responsible.
That's a good thing to have.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. We don't want to say irresponsible. So.
Yeah. Energy. I have a lot of energy.
Energetic, you mean?
Yeah. No. Well, I don't know what people... They might say I have a lot of energy when it comes to doing the job. Or,
I'm a people person.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, people person.
Yeah, that's not on there. It's not on
that's
there.
That's another hyphenated word.
Yeah. But no, not energy.
All right. So all we have is responsible.
Right. All right. So far. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Okay. Way back to one of the first questions, voted Republican consecutively, maybe Nevada?
No.
It's got to be a Midwest state, unless it's Mississippi, something from the South.
No, this would be longer than the South has been Republican.
Wow.
Longer than, okay.
Oh, gosh.
Which
well,
really hasn't been
be
that
a
long.
State from the east of the Mississippi, doesn't it? Yeah.
So I was thinking
well,
Florida?
Not necessarily, but that's obviously one of the places you would look, yeah.
Well, how about Iowa or something like there? They just turned it.
Not Iowa.
Because it's got to be before they got it up to, like, 1880s.
Hmm. Right.
Before the Civil War. I can't think of anybody. Anyway, there was another kind of state question, wasn't there? You did the rivers. The guy called in about the rivers.
We did. No, just that was the only one I can think of. Yeah, that's the only other state question.
Okay, I got a question for you from what I was listening to in the other year because it's on the shows on the same time on another channel. How many languages approximately are there in the world?
Oh.
Ooh. Even if they're only spoken by one person?
It's hard to define even.
Because if you're talking about like African languages, dialects, Native
American. It's an approximate number.
Because there's more than over 1,000 just in New Guinea itself, so...
Yeah.
Let's go with 100,000
altogether. Four figures and under five figures.
Under five figures?
Under five figures.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so 8,500.
A little high.
I'll say 6,100.
Yeah, a little low. 7,000.
I'm going to go with 7,000. That's just my next guess.
Isn't that a lot? And over half of them are endangered.
Oh, yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, they're doing a thing on the other channel, to the best of our knowledge, on your other NPR station.
Competition,
by the way,
thanks.
That show Lori mentioned, I haven't heard that on the NPR stations. What station is that on?
I get it as a podcast. Look on iTunes or the podcast. Yeah, yeah.
I don't
NPR
have a computer right now.
Okay.
I'm between computers.
All right. Next time you get one, it'll be on there.
Because it's not on any local NPR
I don't think
station
so.
Up in this area, is it?
I don't. Not that I know of.
Yeah. It's so much online. I got to get back to it.
I think so.
Well, thank you very much.
A computer. And I started computer science way back in the 70s at UC Irvine. Back in the primitive days, BASIC and X-BASIC.
The Bronze Age. All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you, and have a good day.
Thank you, you too. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, guys, it's Hayes from San Francisco.
Hi.
Laurie's question about the French guy, Laurent, is that something to do with the World Cup?
It's Pauline's
question.
That was
mine, and yes, it absolutely does have to do with the World Cup.
Isn't that the guy that designed the trophy?
He's not, no, which is actually one of my later questions, but no.
Jules Rimet is the guy that did that, so I just blew your question on that one.
Actually, Jules Rimet did not design the trophy. He's the one who the original trophy is named after.
That's it, exactly. Exactly. And then the other thing about the job things, what about cheap, fast, and available?
None of the above.
I didn't think so. All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
What about flexible?
Flexible, no.
Good thing to be there.
Yeah, I think somebody, and not available.
Flexible. What does flexible mean? I'm willing to work any hours.
Yes, for any wages.
It can mean all kinds of things. It could mean that I don't stick to one thing, that I'm willing to listen to other opinions.
Oh, I'm double joining.
I go with the flow.
It depends on the job.
Yeah. All right.
And Lori, your turn.
All right. Let's see. I know what it is. We're back to first impressions here. I have five first lines of movies that I love. See if you know any of them. Dana, we'll just leave them out there. First one is, if they move, kill them. That's number one. Second one is, all right, Curly, enough's enough. You can't eat the Venetian blinds. I just had them installed Wednesday. Third one is, as far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. Fourth one is, this is my neighborhood, this is my street, this is my life. I am 42 years old, in less than a year I will be dead. And last one is, will you just watch the hair? You know, I work on my hair a long time, and you hit it. You hit my hair.
Oh, okay, that was from a movie that just came out. It was with
Christian Bale.
The last one?
Yeah, I think so, because it's the thing where they're putting on his
hair
piece. That sounds
no.
Okay. It's older. Or they're all more older.
Okay.
They're all more older than that.
Is that Saturday Night Fever?
Yes, that was Saturday Night. The last one was where you just watch the hair. I worked on my hair a long time. That was Saturday Night Fever.
I wonder if they use something similar.
They might. There's parodies of these.
What were they? Why don't you repeat them?
So the first one is, if they move, kill them. Second one is, all right, Curly, enough's enough. You can't eat the Venetian blinds. I just had them installed Wednesday. Third one is, as far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. That's the big hint. And this is my neighborhood, this is my street, this is my life. I'm 42 years old. The key line is, in less than a year, I will be dead.
Hmm.
All well-known films.
All right.
Okay.
And,
got skipped for a question, didn't
I? Oh, did it? All right, well, I'll get back to you in a second. We are a little past halfway, so let's repeat any questions that have been answered. You don't have to repeat that one, Lori, but Pauline, what do you have?
Okay, so we got a clue, too, but the Lucien Laurent, so what did he do that was so noteworthy? So the caller said that, yes, it does tie into the World Cup, so it has something to do with that.
But it's not the person who designed the trophy.
It's not the person who designed the trophy, nor the person who the trophy's named after.
All right.
And Jerry Goffin was nominated for a single Oscar for Mahogany. Besides Diana Ross, what other singers recorded it? Well-known.
How about Barbara Streisand?
No.
No?
I could totally see her doing it, too.
Lori?
I'm looking for who was on the cover of the first Tiger Beat magazine in September 65. At that time, it was called Lloyd Thaxton's Tiger Beat. I don't think that's much of a hint. We're looking for the eight women who are in the Literary Arts Postage Stamp Series in United States Stamps, and we have Zora Neale Hurston. That's the only one. In addition, in that series, two of those stamps have been designated as Forever Stamps. They both have well-known male authors on them. Who are the Forever Boys, as I like to think of them?
Is Faulkner one of them?
Faulkner has a stamp, but he's not a Forever guy.
Right. And what U.S. state has voted Republican in the most consecutive presidential elections? What state has voted Republican in the most consecutive presidential elections?
How about Maine?
No, not Maine. And, okay. For Whom the Bell Tolls, the novels For Whom the Bell Tolls, A River Runs Through It, Mr. Samler's Planet, and Gravity's Rainbow, what do they have in common? It is something to do with the way the novels were received. Okay.
Was it the longest wait from the time they were submitted to the time they were published?
No. Yeah. No. It's something that happened after the novels were published.
After.
Would this be how high they went on the bestseller list kind of thing?
No. Okay. And according to Forbes magazine, these are the 10 words most commonly used by applicants in a business-oriented resume. These are the 10 words most common, 10 single words most commonly used to by an applicant to describe themselves in a business-oriented resume. So far, all we have is responsible.
How about conscientious?
Ooh. No.
How about creative?
If you have to say you're conscientious, you're probably not that conscientious.
Well, you might.
Yeah, maybe. I'm sorry, what did you say?
Creative?
Creative. Yes, right. That is there. Good.
And one clarification on my stamp question, all the women are 20th century authors, but the forever guys aren't necessarily 20th century.
Oh.
How about Melville?
He's not the guy. He's on, you know, he's not a forever guy. Sorry. You're closer, though. Is that right? Getting closer to the time period for one of them.
Huh. So, all right. Hawthorne?
Nope. Slightly later and slightly more mainstream, I would say.
Jack London?
Nope.
Oh.
But
right.
20th century.
All right. Well, you said the men were earlier than
that. Yeah. The man I'm thinking of is 19th century. Yeah.
Okay.
So you're in the right century.
All right. Well, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Colette. I wanted to guess about the applicants.
Yes.
Honest?
Ooh.
No.
Experienced?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
How about cantankerous? And how about moody? Would that be one of them?
No. No. Yeah. let's see. Loose cannon. No, that's two words. Let's see here. Okay. I'm going to give you some famous authors' homes. And I'm just going to give you three of them. And you tell me what author these homes are connected with. The homes obviously have a name. In other words, they're, you know, like Windsor Castle. So anyway, all right, here we go. Number one, Piers Court. P-I-E-R-S. Apostrophe S. Piers Court. Number two, The Mount. Number three, Rowan Oak. So these are famous authors' homes. Number one, Piers Court. Number two, The Mount. Number three, Rowan Oak. You want to guess any of these?
And do any of them have any resonance with their work at all? Or are these just like their estate?
Oh, any direct connection with their work?
Any title resonance?
No, not that I can think of right offhand.
Rowan Oak. Two words on Rowan Oak?
Yes, two words on Rowan Oak. Two words on The Mount, two words on Piers Court.
Well, they all have two words.
Yes.
Wow. All right.
These are very famous authors, and these are the names of their homes. Number one, Piers Court. Number two, The Mount. Number three, Rowan Oak.
They all American?
Two are American and one is not.
Any on a forever stamp?
Those
I would know.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I'm not doing very well on that question, so it's possible.
I don't know.
All right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me again?
It is you again, I guess.
I've turned down the other ear. Here, run back. I was going to guess the stamps, but then you said they were all authors. I was thinking like Amelia Earhart or something, or Eleanor Roosevelt.
No, these are they're literary art stamps, so yeah, they are all authors.
Oh, they're literary stamps.
Yeah.
I didn't catch that part of the question. Okay, forget that. How about the gangsters? Edward G. Robinson, what I'm thinking, a line from one of his movies, but I can't think of the title of the movie.
It's not Edward G. Great guess.
Oh. And not on the design on the World Cup the Ball. I was thinking of the designer. How about Republican things? How about, I don't know, Arkansas? Somewhere along the, is it a state along the rivers there?
Well, we don't have all the answers to that because the fellow is not on the phone anymore. So
no, I meant voted Republican in Ohio.
Oh, I see what you mean. Oh, Arkansas. No, it is not anywhere near Arkansas.
And it's not even up and down the river. Then it's in the farther east. Hmm. I'm trying to pinpoint it by area. So many states in there, you know, like Iowa or something, or Ohio or Indiana or something.
Yep.
And I'm trying to think. You said it. What kind of period is this? Is this like from the beginning?
This is from the 19th into the, well into the 20th century.
Oh, 19th into the 20th century.
Yes.
Ooh, it could be something like New Mexico or something.
Well, yeah.
But it's not, right?
But it's not.
Yeah, because I remember, since they had those state quarters come out, I sort of memorized when the states came into the Union.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Montana, Iowa?
Nope.
Idaho?
Nope.
Mm. Running out of states in the middle.
Only 43 to go.
Yeah, well, a whole bunch of them came in 1893 or 96. There's like six or eight of them.
Right.
And that's what I'm thinking.
No, this is a state that was in the Union before that.
Oh, before that, but right. After the Civil War.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Well, think about it, and you can call us back.
Yeah, I can't think of the ones in between. It's like maybe Minnesota or Wisconsin.
Nope.
It's got to be something stupid, like, I don't know what.
There are no stupid states.
Think it over.
I'm surprised it wasn't Utah of all things, too, with the Mormons. That's the obvious one.
All right. Wyoming. Give us a call back later when you think of it.
Wyoming, one more.
Not Wyoming, nope.
I'm running out of states in there.
All right, thanks.
Oh, well, thank you.
Okay.
Florida.
No, not Florida.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. And Pauline, is your turn.
Okay, so I'm going to stick with my World Cup question since it's timely. Name the only eight countries in the history of the FIFA World Cup to have won.
Brazil.
Okay, that's one.
Yes. Spain.
Yes.
Because they just lost.
And they only won one, which was the one before, yeah.
Mexico?
Not Mexico.
England.
England, yes.
Germany.
Germany, yes. Doing well for a sports question. I'm
yeah.
impressed.
I follow the World Cup just a little bit. So how many is that?
That's four.
So that's four.
Four?
So that you're halfway there.
Well, don't want to be a hog about it.
Yeah, we'll leave them out to the... I don't either. Let's leave them
right.
out to the
All right. Repeat the question, would you, Paul?
Okay, name the only eight countries to have won the FIFA World Cup.
Just... Only once. I mean, it can be only once.
No, they've won, like Brazil's won five times, but...
But are there any countries that have won only once there?
Yeah, Spain's only won once.
Okay.
That was
All
the
right.
last time.
Right. And let's go to a call.
England's only won once.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Yeah, well, I think I have a whole bunch of answers, actually.
Great.
For the last one, Argentina?
Absolutely.
Very good.
Italy?
Italy, yes, won four times.
And France?
Yes, I was, yes.
Right,
I
don't know the last one, but those three, yeah.
Okay.
So we're missing
then,
one.
Right, so just one left.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't think of the...
And actually, the one that's missing somewhat relates to my other question about Lucien Ooh. Laurent.
Oh, that one I know. He scored the first goal ever.
Yes, and where was it? Do you know where that game was held?
Brazil. Or Uruguay.
Brazil. Uruguay, there you go.
Very good.
Yeah. Oh, really? Uruguay. Oh.
Uruguay. 1930.
Uh-huh. 1930.
Yes.
Exactly.
Right. Lori, I have a couple of answers for your movie lines.
Great.
The first one is The Wild Bunch.
It is. If they move,
if
kill them.
Yeah.
Very
and
good.
The second one I know, yeah. It's Jack Cook's, it's Chinatown.
It is.
Burt Young. Yeah, but Tony the Blinds.
Yeah. You can't eat the Venetian blinds. I just had them installed Wednesday. Great.
Right. Okay, and then for the Forever Stamp, is Mark Twain one of them?
He is. He's on one of the Forever Stamps. Very good. Really nice.
Yeah. The other one is absolutely escaping me. Who else would be?
Okay, we'll leave it out
Mark
there.
Twain. Right, and then finally, one guest for the applicants.
Yes.
Enthusiastic?
No.
Oh.
Okay. No. I'm totally at a loss for words people describe themselves. Petulant?
Petulant, yeah. No, not petulant.
Anyway, petulant. All right. Well.
That would get my attention, but
yeah.
No. Thank you.
We're not getting those at all.
No.
That's really interesting.
Remember, it's all self. It's about self promotion and the things that
yeah,
might
exactly.
attract
that's
to
what
a potential
that's what we're
boss.
Guessing. Yeah.
All right.
Except
how about intelligent?
No. Again, mm-hmm. That's one of those things, if you have to say it.
Well, all these things you have to, you know.
I'm a man.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm intelligent. But if you have to put in a resume, I would think, if I were a boss, I'd say, the guy has to put intelligent in his resume.
And then he's probably not.
No, not necessarily not, but if it's, I don't know. But, okay, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Mark in Walton.
Hi, Mark.
And I'd be guessed for the state that elected the most consecutive U.S. presidents?
Or, no, not that. I don't want to mislead you on it. But what state has voted Republican in the most consecutive presidential elections?
Right. Is it New Hampshire?
It is not New Hampshire.
Oh, okay. I have a guess for the words used on resumes.
Right.
Is one of them competent?
No.
That's another one.
Incompetent.
Or punctual?
Punctual's good.
Punctual's good, but no.
Okay, well, I guess I struck out. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you.
What else should you be?
I don't know.
Yeah, those are good. This one I would see as a...
You're on the air.
All right. The phrase Banana Republic was first applied to what country?
Ooh.
I know this. I just heard this.
Was it the Dominican Republic?
No. And remember, there are many countries that grow bananas.
Yeah.
So
there are.
Mm-hmm. So the phrase Banana Republic was first applied to what country?
Oh, that's good. What year?
I don't have the year. I'm going to say very early 20th century.
Was it before or after the clothing company?
before. Yeah, before.
Well before.
Yeah, imagine. Okay. That's good.
I think I just read something on it and it was used like in a book. There was something about it.
Well, it's possible. So once more, the phrase Banana Republic was first applied to what country? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Ron in San Francisco.
Hi, Ron.
For the opening lines, the one about the gangster, is that Ray Liotta in Goodfellas?
It is.
Oh,
thank you.
Very
as
good.
Far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. Great.
Okay.
Excellent.
And then for the Tiger Beat cover, would that be Peter Noon?
Another good guess, but it wasn't.
Oh, that's the right era, though.
Yeah, right era. It wasn't Herman or the Hermits. Really good.
And then on the resume words, how about experience?
Ooh.
No.
No.
And then last one for the literary stamp, how about Sinclair Lewis?
Nope, he's not on the forever stamp. Sorry,
okay.
Didn't make it.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
You too. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight is teacher Pauline Teichman, Laurie Fisher from Diablo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And if you'd like to join us, the number is area code 415-841-4134. The question or answer, 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Yeah, calling event. Well, he just said the Goodfellas, and that was the one was calling for.
Oh,
the other one is, what about on the stamp? Toni Morrison?
Toni Morrison, shockingly, is not on one of these stamps.
Well, she's still alive.
Well, that's, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Could be why.
Yeah.
What about Edith Wharton?
Edith Wharton is on one of them. Very good. She was the first woman.
What about Joyce Carol Oates?
Not.
She's still alive.
She's still
Lydia
alive.
Mendoza, no?
No.
She's on a stamp, but I guess it's not for...
This is a particular literary arts series.
Okay. Pearl Buck?
Pearl Buck did not make it.
Okay, that's all I got.
She won the Nobel Prize,
well, thank
but not
you.
The stamp.
Okay.
Did we say Virginia Woolf yet?
Well, she's British, so these are all Americans.
No, but you said something.
There's one that's
American.
Kind of...
That's why, because when I asked, you had this look like, hmm.
Well, was this one born in the United States, or it came to the United States, or...
It's sort of neither. It's one, it's in more of a territory of the United States, I would say.
Oh.
Where she was born.
Like Margaret Mead or something?
Something.
No.
More.
You mean...
mixing up the one.
You mean like Puerto Rico or something?
Yes.
Oh.
That's what I mean.
Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
And this is the only author on the list I didn't know, but someone who I know knows her.
Oh, okay.
So,
so wait a minute. Knows of this person's work,
yes.
Not knows the author.
You don't, yeah.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Okay. And Pauline, if you have a quick question, you can do that.
Okay. Who said Waiting, are they? Waiting, are they? Well, let him wait in response to an attending doctor who has attempted to comfort him by saying, "General, I fear the angels are waiting for you."
So say this is what the patient said?
Yes.
Okay. So
he said, "Waiting, are they? Waiting, are they? Well, let him wait."
So which general has died?
Well, lots of generals.
Yes.
Well, my first thought was Napoleon, but they wouldn't have called him general. They would have called him emperor, probably. And how about Stonewall Jackson?
Not Jackson, no.
All right.
How about MacArthur?
No. Earlier than that.
Okay. Like a lot earlier? Like Julius Caesar?
No, like Revolutionary War.
Okay. Oh.
That's probably giving too much away, yeah. But it's late.
Cornwallis.
No.
Revolutionary War. Why not George Washington?
No.
Okay, leave it out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, guys, it's Hayes again.
Hi. A
couple of things. One, they do have stamps for people that are still alive now.
Oh, okay.
Yes, they do. Just not right. In this series,
yeah.
I think.
Yes, happened this year.
So there's still hope for me, I guess.
Yes, there
and
is.
They, right. They also have aircraft carriers, which are named after existing people.
Oh, wow. Yes. Yes.
Wherever we get to the end of Dana's thing about what you put on your resume, I want to know. Don't read it out too far.
Okay.
You don't need to write those ones down.
All right.
What about adaptable?
No.
See, that was like flexible. That's
flexible, yeah.
Okay. All right, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, guys. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello. I'm going to guess that Vermont is the state that has voted Republican in consecutive elections.
Yes,
ooh,
yes.
It is.
Wow. Every election between 1856 and 1964, Vermont voted Republican.
Well, how about that?
Okay.
Yes,
and
there was...
I'm going to ask a question for you to use either this week or next week on the same subject, and that is, what six states have voted consecutively Republican since 1964?
Oh, since
there's only six.
Well, six that I can come up with.
All right. So I have to do some research into that, I guess.
There are probably more.
Well,
yeah.
I think we go to Utah on that one, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Texas. Yeah. Wyoming, so, maybe.
I'm not sure about
it.
Texas.
Oh,
Wyoming?
Great. I'm glad to know Vermont is the state. Thank you.
And Vermont's on the list.
Right. So they voted Republican between 1856 and 1964. They voted for Johnson in 64, and then they voted Republican again between 64 and 88.
So, okay.
All right.
So there
thank
you go.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Kim in San Francisco.
Hi.
I've got some resume words for you.
All right.
Entrepreneurial.
No.
Innovative.
Yes.
Oh, good one.
Innovative. That's good.
Collaborative.
No.
Wow.
Productive.
No.
Profitable.
No.
Okay. And then for the opening movie lines, mm-hmm. Kevin Spacey in American Beauty for the line that ends in less than a year, I will be dead.
That is perfect.
Oh,
that's exactly it. At the end with, of course, I don't know that yet, and in a way, I'm dead already. Really good. Thank you.
And I have a World Cup question for you.
Oh.
There's a significant part of the Middle East that roots for Italy. Do you know why they do that? Does anybody know why?
So you say the Middle East and not...
A significant part of a population in the Middle East roots for Italy every year, every World Cup.
But it has nothing to do with a player from the Middle East who happens to be on the Italian team?
Nope.
Wow.
And
this has happened for quite a while?
Since 1992.
Oh.
Sorry, 1982.
My first thought was Italian Somaliland, but that was in Africa, not the Middle East. So...
Does it have to do with a famous individual person?
No.
Okay.
I'm sorry, you said 1992?
1982, sorry.
1982. Why 1982?
Yeah.
Is there a significance to 1982?
Yes.
Okay.
It's political. That's a clue.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Did the Pope come to visit?
No.
Okay. Not that he would be Italian, necessarily.
Huh.
Does it have to do with who Italy played against that year?
No.
No. Okay.
No, we don't know.
Italy dedicated their cup to the Palestinian people because of so many deaths that happened that same year in conflict.
That's why I was thinking.
Interesting.
It's a great question.
Okay.
I found that out from my grocer yesterday. I didn't know that before.
All right.
Excellent.
Well, thank you very much.
Yep. Thank you.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there, caller?
My name is Hadar.
Hi, Hadar.
So I think I have an answer to your film question. I think that This Is My House, This Is My Street comes from American Beauty.
It does. Mm. Very good. The Kevin Spacey line to open the movie. Great.
I also have cheesy guesses about the business resumes.
Yes.
Driven?
Yes.
Ooh.
Very good.
Dynamic?
No.
Leader?
No.
Well, one out of three is good.
No, that's good. That's good.
Desperate.
No.
No? Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
I'm back. Okay, stamps. The two guys. How about Edgar Allan Poe?
He's not. He got a stamp, but he's not on the forever one. Good guess.
It is a literary person, the two guys, but, right?
Yes. Everybody's literary.
I didn't quite catch that part of the question. Sorry about that.
These are the literary arts stamp series.
Yeah. And that Republican thing, how about West Virginia being the second...
No, one of the callers got it. It was Vermont.
Yeah, it's Vermont. I know. I heard that. But would the second one maybe be West Virginia? Right
no,
now?
They voted Democratic for a long, long time.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
I would think backwards, you know, being the rule like that, I wouldn't have voted.
No.
Well, maybe one of the deep south.
All right. We're almost out of time, so we have to get going.
Yep. Got to go. Bye.
Thank you. And, all right, one more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, yes, indeed. So Honduras is a country for the Banana Republic?
That is correct. Honduras.
Okay. Very quickly, just... this English name, old English name for women, means death. What name is it? It's very common name.
Hold on.
It starts with an S. S-H.
S-H?
Yeah.
Shirley.
No. I will give you because
this is... Shirley death.
Tila means death in old English.
Surely you're going to die one day.
Ancient Egyptian name means God's wife, the wife of God. Very common in English, very common in Europe and the Middle East. Very common. It really means... God, it's short for a word that means God, the wife of God.
No.
It's very obvious.
You better tell us, see, we're almost out of time.
Mary.
Okay.
Thank you, guys. Very good show. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right, time to clean up. What do we got, Pauline?
Okay, so the American Revolutionary General who say waiting are there is Ethan Allen.
Oh.
And the other singers who sang the Do You Know Where You're Going To, Mariah Carey, oh. Jennifer Lopez, and the other one lesser known, Lara Fabian.
Oh. Yes.
I have Tiger Beat Magazine, and the one got the Righteous Brothers beat out Peter Noon for that.
Okay.
The women who are on the literary art stamps are Edith Wharton, Marianne Moore, Dorothy Parker, Ayn Rand, Catherine Ann Porter, Marjorie Kinnan Rawlings of The Yearling, and Julia de Burgos. She's the one I didn't know. And the Forever stamps are Mark Twain and O. Henry, of all people.
Oh, okay.
That's a surprise.
William Sidney Porter. But they say O. Henry on the stamp, probably.
Don't they do.
All right. The famous author's homes, Pierce Court, that's Evil and Waugh. The Mount is Edith Wharton. Mm-hmm. And Rowan Oak, that's William Faulkner.
Oh.
Let's see. The For Whom the Bell Tolls, A River Runs Through It, Mr. Samuel's Planet, and Gravity's Rainbow. They were all recommended for the Pulitzer Prize by the fiction jury in the Pulitzer Prize organization, but they were denied by the Pulitzer Prize board, which had the final say over who was awarded the
recommended
prize.
Recommended but denied.
Denied, yes.
Yeah.
The 10 words most commonly used to describe an applicant in their resume, responsible, creative, strategic, effective, patient, expert, organizational, driven, innovative, and analytical.
Cool.
So if we didn't get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight was teacher Pauline Teichman, teacher Lori Fisher. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to Kevin Vance and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. Just to remind you again, if you come by and say hello, if you want to go to the trivia contest at the Grand Oaks Restaurant Tuesday, 7:30. That's the Grand Oaks Restaurant Tuesday, 7:30, June 24th on Grand Street in Oakland. So come by if you can. All right. Thanks, everybody. Take care and join us next Sunday. Bye.
Bye. You're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.